There is a how to be Parshas Bo. We speak a little bit about the idea of chametz and the idea of matzah, and it's clear that the two are very, very different. The two are very, very different. In the world already, certainly of Chazal, but some of the Rishonim, even in halachic context, point out that there seems to be something unique about the manner in which we are required to destroy all chametz on Pesach. Chametz is aser b'mashu. Even a little bit of chametz is considered to be aser. We are required not only to not eat chametz, we have to even go out of our way to search for it. We do bittel, we do bedika, we do a lot of things to get rid of chametz. We certainly take it very, very seriously. That is because, as some of the Rishonim, it's in Chazal a little bit, there's a piece in the Tolzak of Yosef and Parshas Bo that Richard Meyer quotes, that the idea of chametz, and this again we know, represents a form of gaiva. Chametz grows bigger. It's about a person being bigger a little bit. And that gaiva can be a very, very challenging mitzvah to have. The Tolzak of Yosef there in that Torah even quotes from the Alshech and Parshas Kisetze that this may be the shoresh of lots of other bad midos, as many others note as well, that there's something about gaiva, something represented by chametz, which can be so negative for a person's capacity to be really successful in the world of the Rosh Hashem. It can have a very, very negative kind of an impact. Richard Meyer points out something which is fascinating, which is already, again, he references from the Shlach HaKadosh, the Tzadik Yosef has it as well, which is that chametz and matzah, on the one hand, there's a massive difference between them. Matzah represents a certain kind of humility. Chametz represents a certain kind of gaiva. They're very, very different. On the other hand, they actually aren't that different at all, because the words chametz and matzah, so two of the letters are the same, the mem and the tzadi. The only difference between them is that chametz has a ches and matzah has a hey. The only difference in letters. And the only difference between a hey and a ches, if you envision it for a second, between a ches and a hey, is one small dot. There's one small dot of the hey that if you connect the top and the side, that makes it into a ches. That's sometimes the gap, the difference, or the distinction between chametz and matzah is a ridiculously, ridiculously small one. In that sense, if Richard Meyer begins and develops a theme that we're going to elaborate on based on the piece of Reb Tzadok, which I think is wildly and massively important, points out Richard Meyer as follows. There is something called gaiva and there is something called anava. And the world of gaiva, we know, tends to be associated with something which is actually terrible. The world of anava seems to be celebrated. Moshe is the anav mikol adam, a person who's about gaiva, the Gemara in Sota compares to a person who is kofer in the Rabbanu Sholom Rachman al Islam, a person who's a full-blown heretic, that on one level, chametz is always is bad. It represents gaiva, represents being haughty. Matzah is very, very good. But this Torah, and the difference between them is often just one small dot. One small dot between chametz and matzah. The same letters, but they hang in the ches. The one small dot is the only difference between chametz and matzah. Points out for us, Richard Meyer, not all anava per se. He develops the idea, again, we're saying it a little bit differently than here. He said, not all anava is always good, and not all gaiva is always bad. The fact of the matter is, etzem the metzias, that chametz represents gaiva, and therefore we destroy it on Pesach, but the rest of the year, we eat chametz. Chametz is not so terrible that a person never eats it. It has a place. And matzah, despite matzah being the most wonderful thing to have on Pesach, there's no chiyuv of eating matzah the rest of the year. A person goes the year, not even matzah, not only that, but there are certain time periods during the year where the minhag is that we dafka don't eat matzah in advance of Pesach, certainly on Erev Pesach, but even before, many minhagim of Klal Yisrael not eating it. And there must be something about the relationship of chametz and matzah, of gaiva and anava, which is a little bit harder to pin down and somewhat more challenging to really emphasize. Rabbi Shemayer elaborates on, in this context, that while it is true, undoubtedly, that there is something about gaiva which is so terrible, there is something also about gaiva that we need to understand a little bit better. And if we understand better, we can understand why sometimes it comes from a good place and how to channel elements of that gaiva, elements of that haughtiness, in a way which can work to our best interest. In many ways, Parshas Bo deals a lot with the sugyas of chametz and matzah. It's a good time to celebrate the world of chametz. It's a good time sometimes to celebrate, you know, that sometimes a little bit of the haughtiness, where it comes from, and what it's really all about. So Richard Meyer says as follows. Every Jew, he understands, this is part of an idea in Hasidus and Kabbalah, every Jew has a certain desire in their soul to know and to understand Ribbono Shel Olam, to know and to understand Kol Torah Kula. It's what's referred to by the Alter Rebbe as the Pintel Yid. In a certain sense, a person has an internal quest or an internal thirst to master Torah, to know lots of Torah. There are often mechitzos. There are things that separate us, that disconnect us from that koach. But everyone has that desire. People have that thirst to be able to know all of Torah. Says Rav Meyer, when a person has that, so interestingly enough, when it gets distorted a little bit, it can come with an element of gaiva. Why? Because if I know that I have my own letter in Torah, if I know that I have this real thirst for it, so when I finally come and I attain it, so what happens? It's gorimyo, it can cause you to feel like my friend doesn't have it. Like if I'm in touch with my desire to be successful, I can be so in touch with my desire to be successful, I can look at the guy next to me and say, he doesn't have what I have. I have this quest, this thirst, and I can be so taken by it, but so taken by my intensity, so taken by my desire, that I can look at the guy next to me and say, it must be he's missing. He doesn't have it the same way. And therefore, I look like I'm better than him. Or sometimes something else can happen. I see a friend who's more successful. And I say, I'm not where I want to be, and he's where he is. And sometimes when a person's insecure, when a person has big ambitions, but they can't reach them, and I see that friends of mine maybe are. So when you're insecure, the irony is you often, therefore, put people down. It's a way of building yourself up at the expense of others. And sometimes this idea of having an element of gaiva comes by virtue of a certain built-in ambition. That a person who is ambitious, a person who is striving for something, a person that wants to be really good, so sometimes that comes with a little bit of putting down the guy next to me. Either because I'm insecure, I'm not where I want to be, and I put him down, or because I'm very secure and I'm being successful, and I look around and I say, there's no way he's feeling what I'm feeling a little bit. That's why, Derech Agav, you have sometimes a phenomenon, a tragic one, but an understandable one, that in those contexts or those yeshivas that tend to be a little bit more of a high-level elitist kind of place, you often have more of this midah coming out. Of it comes off like a person's a little bit judgmental, a little bit gaivadik, because there's a desire, people are tapped into their rut zone to have real she'ifos, and because of that, it comes from a bad place. It ends up manifesting itself in a negative way. All of this, says Rav Meyer, is in contrast to a form of gaiva, which is not that bad at all. There's a form of gaiva, which is called gaiva dikdusha. She'ba'a mehakaras rach mehaborehi, that the Baruch Hu gives us a degree of strength. And it comes, it's a gaiva, a holy gaiva comes, not because I think I'm that great, but I have a relationship with Ribbono Shel Olam, and God has given me kochos. And if God has given me kochos, that means that I have the ability and the need to push and to fight battles on behalf of Ribbono Shel Olam, to be able to be an ish milchama in that sense, to be a person that's willing to fight for things, a person that lacks self-confidence, a person that's too much of an anav. He's not going to stick up for those that need him. He's never going to fight a battle for something. He's never going to be willing to push for things. So he leads a life where he's a little bit more disappointed. Says Rav Meyer, that's why Mashiach ben David, if you spell it correctly, Mashiach ben David is b'gematria ish milchama. That a person who wants to bring an element of geula, you have to be willing to fight for certain things. And to fight for certain things requires a little bit of gaiva. It requires a certain kind of self-confidence to fight that through. Lopiansky, if anyone read it, came out, you know, about abuse. He's uniquely suited to write about, I think, everything. So Lopiansky wrote very beautifully about that. It's very hard to be a dayan, to be a Shmuel Eliyahu. It's been a very, you're celebrated in certain places and you're critiqued in other places. Again, pretty clear, you know, where fitting he's in the right. But it still is a degree of critique, and to step up and say, I'm going to take an issue, is something which requires a capacity to have a holy gaiva, a gaiva de kedusha. I should deal with this. This should be on my plate. I should fight for this. I have to step up. And people are going to critique you and say, why are you involved? You're not qualified. What are you doing? You're wrong. It requires a gaiva de kedusha, but Mashiach ben David is b'gematria ish milchama. And there's a capacity to fight a little bit. This idea is very well known in Torah Chassidus in particular, based on a comment of the Gemara in Maseches Sota. The Gemara in Maseches Sota and Daf Mem Pesel Mebeis is speaking about generations of Ikvos of the Mashiach.
the generations of Ikvus of the Mashiach, that's time period before the onset of Mashiach comes, in the footsteps or the heels of Mashiach, where the Gemara says, Bisof HaGolus, Lefnei Bias HaMashiach, at the time period which many assume, as Hashem, we happen to be in. Chutzpah Yiske. What does Chutzpah Yiske mean? There's going to be an increase in the Midah of Chutzpah. There's going to be an increase before Mashiach comes in the Midah of Chutzpah. What does that mean? So I remember years ago, I think I was trying to bet, I was in Tzfat for Shabbos, and I ended up like wandering in one of these conversations with like a very intensely messianic Chabad person there. And he was trying to bring Raya that the time period of Mashiach is here. So one of the things that he brought was, look at it, we live in a generation where people have terrible midos, people are very chutzpah, people aren't that nice. So Raya, it's the Mashiach, chutzpah yaski. You know, that's what it is in a certain sense. Okay. In Torah Chassidus, in the writings of Reb Tzadok, in a very famous piece, in Tikkat Tzadik Os Memvav, a very famous piece. It comes earlier in Torah Chassidus also, in a short Torah, at least earlier that I'm aware of, Reb Uri of Stralisk, who's one of the forerunners of Karliner Chassidus, of the Beis Aharon of Karlin, I believe, Reb Uri of Stralisk has this Torah also. And that is the following idea. When Chazal say that there's going to be chutzpah in the generation before Mashiach, when Chazal says chutzpah, it's not referring to chutzpah of people with bad midos. It's referring to a gaiva de kedusha. It's referring to a holy kind of chutzpah. If it's referring to a chutzpah which says that even when people say I can't do something, I believe that I can do something. I believe that I can have an ability. It's a holy kind of a chutzpah, that I have an ability to play a role. I have an ability to matter. It's a certain kind of holy chutzpah. Reb Tzadok speaks about it in the context, based on the comment of the Reishis Chachma, that when that he understands it's a reference to the Gemara in Pesachim. The Gemara in Pesachim Peivav tells us, Kol ma sheyomer baal bayis asei chutz mitzei. And if a baal bayis, listen to everything he tells you to do. If a baal bayis tells you to leave the house, don't listen to baal bayis. You can always stay. Okay, it's not the minhag in the Turetsky home, at least, when we tell you to leave, you know, feel free to head out. But the Reishis Chachma says an amazing Torah. Who's the ultimate baal bayis? The Ribbono Shel Olam. And sometimes in life, the Ribbono Shel Olam, it can sound like he's telling you, say, he's telling you, you're not welcome. I'm trying really hard to learn well. I'm trying really hard to daven well. I'm trying really hard, and things are not coming together well. This chavrusa, he's having a problem with this, and therefore learning's not going as well. My Rebbe, having a hard time with this, and therefore it's not going as well. The sugya is, it's not going the way I would want it to be. So said Reish Chachma, it looks like there's signs for Ribbono Shel Olam. This is not for you. Get out of here. You're not welcome. No. Kol Masha Bayis, Kol Masha Yomer Baal Bayis, everything the Baal Bayis tells you, I say, Chutz Mitzei. The Ribbono Shel Olam ever seems to be giving you a message. It's time to leave. Don't listen to him. It's a scam. It's a scam. What the Ribbono Shel Olam is saying in that moment is, I want you to step up. I want you to be a person that says, Ribbono Shel Olam, it seems like you're pushing me away, but I will have the chutzpah and the gaiva to say, absolutely not. Absolutely not. I will continue to push through. I will continue to push through. Said the Tzadok, it's part of the famous piece, that was the sin of the Ma'apilim. The Ma'apilim, if you remember, after Bnei Yisrael is told in Parshas Shlach that they're not allowed to go into, they aren't allowed to go into Eretz Yisrael, they're going to die in Mitzrayim. So the Ma'apilim suddenly in Chumash go and they start going to Eretz Yisrael anyway. They go to Eretz Yisrael anyway. And they start fighting and they end up being killed. And said the Tzadok, what's shot in the Ma'apilim? What were they thinking? Because the Ma'apilim made a mistake, but they were right about something. They were right that there's a midah called holy chutzpah. That the Ribbono Shel Olam said you can't come to Eretz Yisrael. That sometimes the response is, I'm going to go anyway. I'm going to fight through. They were wrong that this was one of those times. So unfortunately, they passed away. They were wrong. But the Yisod HaDavar, what was behind it on some level, there was a degree of MS there. They were just toeh, him chasvu shezeh bichlal chutz mitzei. And they were wrong about that. But there's this midah of gaiva de kedusha, which is very, very important. In that sense, the line between bad gaiva and holy gaiva is often very, very hard to identify. The line between a chametz, which is kosher, and a chametz, which is aser, so during the year of Beit, it's not that big. Matzah and chametz, it's a small nekuda, the difference between them. We have to eradicate the bad gaiva, but woe unto us if in the quest of eradicating bad gaiva, a person can't be ambitious. Woe unto us if a person who is so scared of being a baal gaiva that he can never step up, and you'll be left with if everyone was what was the biggest anav in the world and no one had any holy gaiva, we'd have no serious piskei halachos and complex questions, because who's answering it? I'm not right. You're not right. Who's answering any of these things? You know, they're the big people, the poskim who took us through life and death shilohs over the last whatever years. No, no. Rav Moshe won't write a tshuva because how can I write a tshuva? You know, who am I to write anything? What are you going to do? What are you going to do? And Klal Yisrael needs people who have not the wrong gaiva. Richard Meyer says even the wrong gaiva often comes from a good place. It comes from an ambition. It comes from a desire to connect. But I have to control that because bad gaiva is shoresh kol amidos kulam. Bad gaiva can lead a person to terrible places, to terrible places. But healthy gaiva, a gaiva de kedusha, ikvasa de mashicha, chutzpah yaski. That in the generation before Mashiach, in that generation, in that kufa, there's going to be an element of gaiva which is going to be valuable. As the Gemara in Hedjin points out, that sometimes chutzpah is valuable, afilu klapei shmaya. That a person needs to be willing to stand up and say, Ribono Shel Olam, I'm never going to leave. You can give me a sign that I'm not supposed to be. Ribono Shel Olam, I want to really get into learning. But suddenly my chavrusha was sick for a week and a half with the flu. What am I going to do? What am I going to do? That is not a message from Ribono Shel Olam. They're not supposed to be learning. It's a message from Ribono Shel Olam that I want to see if you can develop that holy chutzpah. That even when I make it harder, you're going to say, you're not going to get me. I'm not going to run away. I'm not going to leave. I'm not going. None of this stuff will stop me at all. That's part of the avod of Ikvas of Mashiach. I'm not going to, you will not. Whatever the Baal Bayis says, I'll listen to Ribono Shel Olam, all your mitzvot, except for tzei. If you say there's an aveira doesn't have tshuva, I'm not going to believe you. I don't believe it's true. I can still fight through. I can still do it. And to have that kind of self-confidence, to be a person that positively contributes, that does things, that isn't scared of being a voice, but build yourself up. And when the time is there, is willing to take an opportunity, is willing to have an impact, is able to have an impact because Mashiach ben David is b'gematria is melchama. Because there is that ability. There's that ability to be a person that is willing to fight, be a person that's willing to stand up for something, be a person that's willing to believe in something, ad kedei kach, that you're willing to do whatever it takes, whatever it takes. And as it says in the Torah of the Baal Shem, that the idea of which goes to all time, that the idea of Mashiach is not only an idea, is not only an idea about one Mashiach for Klal Yisrael, but karva al nafshi ge'ala, that every neshama, every nefesh has a little bit of a ge'ula which it can have, and it requires a person to be a little bit of a miniature version of Mashiach, that sometimes they have to be willing to fight for things, have to be willing to take a stand, and have to be willing to step up. To step up in a way in which I can say, Ribono Shel Olam, what do you need? So we destroy chametz. We eradicate chametz. We eradicate all the bad forms of gaiva that happen to be there. Chametz aser b'mashu. But we don't get rid of a holy kind of gaiva called holy self-confidence. A belief that you could do something real. A belief that I can always be there with Ribono Shel Olam. A belief that I can do big things. I can do big things. And it's dafkan generations of Ikvas Mashicha where that's a need to try to cultivate. The holy gaiva. The capacity to believe that you are able to be successful, to believe that you are able to accomplish a lot. And the Ribono Shel Olam should bless us that through this list of all of our, we should eradicate chametz. We should eradicate chametz on Pesach. We should be able to tap into holy gaiva. And through that, we should be zocha to witness the coming of Mashiach ben David, the gematria, the ultimate ish melchama, that we should be able to be as successful as possible as we can possibly be.